Traditional revenue sources for public media and media at large are declining this year. We at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We're tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission. So we're turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/givetech. Inside the notebook of a reporter on the Facebook beat. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. For reporters covering Facebook, getting the real story has only gotten harder since the release of the Facebook Files in 2021. The Wall Street Journal series, based on documents provided by whistleblower Francis Haugen, exposed the inner workings of the company now known as Meta, from its lax rules for VIPs to internal research on Instagram's impact on teens. Journal reporter Jeff Horwitz writes about the challenge of covering the company in his new book, Broken Code: Inside Facebook and the Fight to Expose Its Harmful Secrets. When we spoke, he began by explaining how much has changed about Meta's platforms.
The products that Meta offers bear no resemblance to Instagram and Facebook a decade ago. That these are just completely revamped features. They do not, you know, this isn't just sort of, oh, you post things online and you follow your friends and, you know, then magic happens. This is much more mechanical. It is heavily driven by recommendations and what the company calls unconnected content, namely things that it chooses to show you rather than that you choose to see. Looking at sort of how that has changed, not just how we use social media, but how we interact online in general, how we consume news, how we talk to each other about things like politics. These are, you know, sort of the ramifications are so much bigger than just, oh, they changed social media in a way that, you know, made things better or worse.
So you've got this, you know, very comprehensive history of the last decade at Facebook, but this is also your account of how hard it is to expose the company's secrets. And I want to talk a little bit about that. There is a turning point in your efforts as a reporter, and it comes in 2019 in the thick of the Trump administration. We're going into the next election. And this is when Mark Zuckerberg is speaking at Georgetown about free expression.
In times of social tension, our impulse is often to pull back on free expression because we want the progress that comes from free expression, but we don't want the tension.
And you write about what you were seeing in the comments section during that speech. Talk about that. What occurred to you as you were watching?
Yeah. So what was happening when Mark was saying those words was that tens of thousands of Facebook users were commenting on the speech, and a lot of them were heckling the hell out of him. The thing is, none of those comments ever appeared. You literally had to scrape all 40,000 odd comments to see them, because the only ones that Facebook was selecting to show were ones that involved the words thank you, love, and congratulations. We're talking some extremely crude filtering here.
And some very obviously not authentic comments as you were kind of wading through some of the language in there.
Yeah, no. I think one of them. I may be quoting this person wrong. My apologies to them. But thank you, big boy Mark. I love you. I think this was for me. It was a really important moment in sort of forcing me to recognize that the thing that we'd all been focused on, which is like, oh, what does Facebook moderate? What do they remove? And the thing that Mark Zuckerberg was focusing on in that speech, as if this is a kind of a moderation problem, it wasn't that. It was an amplification problem. In other words, what voices are getting picked up and why are they getting picked up? And what are the mechanics of the system that is built to do that job, and whose interest does it serve?
Yeah, a lot of irony to wade through in that passage of the book. Then comes COVID. Briefly, how did the pandemic initially affect Facebook, which was coming off of a couple of years of really bad press, the 2016 election aftermath, and the Cambridge Analytica scandal?
Look, I think people there understood this every bit as much to be as tragic and horrific of a world event as we all did. What I will say is that I think from a company level, this was just awesome. I mean, everything about COVID, from the fact that people were at home spending a ton of time online, to the fact that Mark Zuckerberg happened to employ one of the world's foremost coronavirus experts, to the way the company responded by sending its employees home right at the very get-go for their safety, then sort of keeping the ship running in this kind of manic process. This was all amazing for the company. It truly was a point when the value of a worldwide social network really shone, that there was a lot of value to be had here.
And just to ground us, the 2020 election is on the horizon at this point in those first few months of lockdown. You write that then-President Trump, he writes an incendiary tweet that is cross-posted from Twitter to Facebook. Twitter takes it down. Mark Zuckerberg does not. And we actually have a clip of him speaking with Dana Perino at Fox News, if we could just play that.
We have a different policy, I think, than Twitter on this. You know, I just believe strongly that that Facebook shouldn't be the arbiter of truth of everything that people say online.
And you position this moment as something of a turning point for workers at Facebook. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so things were already sort of getting a little less cheery. But then comes the looting, shooting tweet from Trump, in which he, suggests, echoing a Miami police chief who used very bloody tactics to shut down protests. When the looting starts, the shooting starts, was the phrase. Basically has this somewhat menacing, if not outright sort of inciting comment. And this was, I think, a really big deal for employees. It was seen as an instance in which the company was sort of directly kowtowing to political pressure in a way that it had at least publicly claimed it would not do. You know, this is supposed to be this sort of revolutionary fifth estate, as Mark Zuckerberg put it, right? This check on branches of government and even on the press. And it was instead, kowtowing to someone who holds the country's highest office, right, was the concern.
And you write that outside the executive ranks, the mood among employees was as close to mutinous as it had ever been. You talk about, 4 days after the tweet, there's a virtual walkout staged by workers. They're a lot more open to, airing their concerns outside of Facebook in public forums. And there are, kind of more leaks happening at this point.
Yeah, this is where I think they sort of lose a lot of employees. I think the company does start treating its employees a little bit more like a fifth column at this point, and they start trying to lock down information, right? Things are just leaking right and left. And I think there's at that point also just a recognition that the election is just really getting out of control. Even as the company is, sort of fighting its employees on some of the activism fronts, it is also preparing for what would be a crash landing for the 2020 election on its platforms.
We'll be right back with more on the new book, Broken Code, with its author, Wall Street Journal tech reporter Jeff Horwitz. Traditional revenue sources for public media and media at large are declining this year. We at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We're tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we're turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/givetech.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI?
I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. We're back with Wall Street Journal tech reporter Jeff Horwitz. He's out with a new book on Facebook called Broken Code. We talked about the tensions between rank-and-file workers and the C-suite at Meta. My takeaway was that there were a lot of people inside of Facebook who wanted to do the right thing and were trying to, but because of the person leading them, they couldn't always. Is that the conclusion you want readers to draw?
I think, yes, that is certainly true, that many of the things that were kind of described as intractable issues of social media aren't intractable. They are, in fact, eminently solvable or at least heavily mitigatable. But the platform right now represents the desires of the people who control it, and one person more than anyone else. And if there are issues with that, these are the direct result of product and design choices, and choices about where to invest. I mean, I think the safety stuff alone, right? Moderation doesn't solve everything, but in recent years, the company's been cutting back on safety stuff, even though it runs a 40% operating margin.
Yeah. And then last thing, do you think that your reporting in this book and its many revelations will change the work that has to happen to expose what's going on inside of Facebook?
In the wake of the book, and this is something I think that I always suspected would happen, they cracked down heavily on internal information access. And it's been really disheartening, I think, for a lot of researchers that things are not as internally open as they once were. Even by the time that the Facebook files documents came to be with Frances Haugen, they were already trying to restrict access, and things have just gotten tighter since. And so, you know, I think there is a question as to sort of how this research gets done. And there is kind of more of a focus on trying to force transparency, right? To say that Facebook's own reports about its moderation systems and, you know, its effects aren't good enough, and that, there's going to need to be some sort of more standardized information disclosure.
That was Jeff Horwitz, author of Broken Code. Jesus Alvarado produced this episode. I'm Lily Jamali, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.